Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Tang, and I'm joined today by Glenn Schultz, who is the head of our agency mortgage prepayment modeling and strategy for MUFG. Today is Wednesday, November 9th, and Glenn, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Hi, Ellen. It's my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
So as we always like to kick off these podcasts, we can talk about the October remit data that was released Friday, November 5th. So aggregate prepayment speeds measured by the Fannie Mae 30-year MBS declined about 16% on a month-over-month basis, down to about 5.7 CPR. And then the 15-year prepayment declined about 13.5% month-over-month, down to 6.4 CPR. So now we're approaching the winter lows in terms of seasonal factors. What is your outlook for prepayments going into the winter months?
Sure. I expect prepayments to closely follow day count through February 2023, with a seasonal low in prepayment coming in January 2023. So that's really when you look at seasonal factors, January is the lowest of the low. After that, seasonal factors begin to pick up in February. They build through May, June, reaching their peak really in June. So we should see November prepayment decline around 10% on a month-over-month basis to around a 5.1 CPR. And then December should see a modest uptick based on just day count, reporting around a 6.2 CPR. So we really are very much at the very bottoms of what we would expect to see in terms of turnover prepayment.
And last month, Glenn, we discussed the continued slowdown in the moderately seasoned cohorts. So did we see the projected slowdown? And then also, what's your view on speeds in this cohort going forward?
Yeah, so we did see a slowdown in the moderately seasoned cohort, which as I've mentioned several times, was really the originator favorite as we went through this refinancing wave. And prepayment within that cohort actually remained elevated even once the 30-year mortgage rate started going up. You know, so we saw a 30-year mortgage rate, 6.5%, 7%, but we still saw pull-through in that cohort. So it was still running much faster than comparable gross WAC, new or seasoned. So this is likely pull-through on the pipeline and some cash-out refinancing that we were seeing. But this month, prepayment in October, prepayment generally declined more across the moderately seasoned cohorts than within the new or the seasoned cohorts, which is what we expected to see. And I think going forward into the next remittance cycle, we'll still expect to see prepayment decline modestly, sort of in that moderately seasoned cohort. But for the most part, you know, we're normalizing with the normals and the new production in the season. So what we're going to really see, I think, is, you know, the moderately seasoned cohorts beginning to follow the day count convention, those types of things. And they should be aligned, like I said, with new production and seasoned cohorts more so kind of going forward.
And so one thing I'd like to touch on is the FHFA announced a new GFE scheme on October 24th. How do you see this impacting prepayments?
Sure. Yeah. The GFE changes announced mostly, at least on this announcement, focused on first-time home buyers and affordability. So upfront fees in the case of the first-time home buyer whose income is at or below 100% of the area median income, which FHFA calls it the AMI, in most states, and then at or below 120% of the area median income of high-cost areas are eliminated. So that's the affordability part of it. And then there will be targeted upfront fee increases for cash-out refinancing. So, and the FHFA had announced this actually in January of 2022, so now they're following through on additional GFE increases with respect to cash-out refinancing. And the thinking there is that with home prices having advanced so much, cash-out refinancings obviously are, to the FHFA, much more risky than, say, you know, a straight refinancing or just a straight-out, you know, new sort of mortgage being taken out. So the net result, though, is likely a reduction in cash-out refinancing, And in usual, we see some cross-subsidization of weaker borrowers by the stronger borrowers in the name of affordability. But we tend to see that in the underwriting matrices and the LLPAs with respect to the GSEs pretty consistently. And still, there's going to be this degree to which these new G fees are going to impact prepayments. But I think that's going to be modest, you know, at best, if noticeable even at all.
Understood. And then yesterday, Glenn, you published a client note on the second golden age of mortgage-backed securities, which we kind of touched on briefly during last month's podcast. Mm-hmm. In that note, two things that really grabbed my attention. So first, the issuance and net issuance projections and the old normal basis call. In the note, you predicted a significant decline in both gross and net issuance. In fact, you predicted agency mortgages net issuance between a modest net negative to $400 billion with a midpoint of $175 billion. That's a very low net issuance forecast. However, your old normal current coupon basis call is unchanged from earlier this year. You still see the current coupon basis trading between 100 and 140 basis points, despite the reduction in supply. So how do you square that circle?
Right, yeah. So. At first blush, I think these two positions seem to contradict one another. However, I don't really feel like this is the case with respect to the old normal basis thesis that we've been operating on through most of the year. So we believe that the agency MBS market, particularly current coupon basis, is in transition. It's in a regime shift, if you will, from sort of the basis that we've experienced through kind of the pandemic QE and also QE 1, 2, and 3. But this transition takes us back to what I think is more normal sort of basis activity or levels that we've seen in say the mid late 1990s, early 2000s. So the reasoning behind this is first, portfolio support via the GSEs is no longer really part of the equation with respect to the basis since the financial crisis. So prior to the financial crisis, the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, combined portfolio was about $1.2 trillion. And today the portfolio is constrained to a size that facilitates only securitization. So there's no sort of arbitrage between their funding costs and where mortgages are trading as had been in the past. And so that's about $250 billion each. So we're really looking about a $500 billion combined portfolio from the GSEs as opposed to that $1.2 trillion that we had seen in the past. So there's a demand that's not there. Secondly, the Federal Reserve MBS portfolio and its disposition, I think, will at least weigh on the basis as investors kind of continually ponder the MBS portfolio sales activity coming from the Federal Reserve. Now, obviously, I think the Fed would prefer to sell into a tight basis like every other potential seller of securities would be or fixed income securities. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case because anytime investors get a whiff of sort of the Federal Reserve potentially selling MBS, obviously the basis is going to widen out somewhat. So I think that's a factor that's going to weigh on the basis. And then finally, you know, the agency MBS market, and we've talked about this several times, is more negatively convex than in the past. And that's due to two things. First, just higher loan balances as a result of home price increases. And then secondly, originator investment in technology that's improved refinance solicitation, reduced the application to loan closing timelines, those types of things. So in my view, the decline in gross and net issuance is really kind of going to serve to balance supply demand fundamentals, which I feel like have been a little bit out of skew as we went through QE. And it's going to normalize those supply-demand fundamentals, I think, around the old normal base, current coupon basis. So when you look at sort of the fundamentals and technicals weighing against the basis in the agency mortgage market, and you position that with the gross and the net issuance, what I really come down to is the idea that we're going to normalize sort of around this basis with these issuance numbers going forward. And that's actually part of the thesis of the second golden age, where investors will be rewarded with kind of that old normal basis, and I think just a plethora of trading opportunities due to expansion of the coupon stack and those types of things, which I talk about in that client piece.
Thanks very much, Glenn. And one other thing that you've also been talking about is the search for convexity. That is, investors identifying mm-hmm. desirable convexity profiles while avoiding undesirable convexity profiles. So you provide an example using nearest neighbor machine learning to identify TBA pools with moderate loan balance convexity. Can you talk about that a little bit more for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. This is actually one of my favorite topics. So one of the things that we're researching is the application of machine learning to identify, unique convexity profiles. We've already been quite successful with our machine learning prepayment model. And so we're pushing sort of the machine learning boundaries as much as we can. And I really feel like, in the search for, excess returns or however you want to think about it, outsized returns within risk-adjusted returns within the sector, really think that machine learning is going to play a big role. So for our client note, what we used is that supervised learning technique that you mentioned, the nearest neighbors. So the idea there was to look at the TBA cohorts or the generic cohorts, and then also train it on the moderate loan balance cohort. So this is a supervised part. In other words, the data is labeled, right? We have data labeled TBA, we have data labeled moderate loan balance. And then we train the nearest neighbors to identify TBA and moderate loan balance convexity profiles. From there, we then pull the universe of TBA only generic pools, it's about 1.9 million pools. And then we apply that classification model to the generic cohort. And what we found was about a little over 100,000 pools, which is about 6% of the TBA cohort on pool count, that actually produce a convexity profile reflective of the MLB pool sector. So what we've done is we've actually been able to extract that convexity profile out of the generic or the TBA sector. Now, what has to happen is, and we have to go through a lot of data analysis and figure out, what are the drivers of that, whether it's the categorical variables or kind of continuous time dependent variables or underwriting variables that have kind of come together in those risk layerings to give us this MLB convexity cohort. And then we can move on to unsupervised learning techniques, which are clustering, those types of things, which allow us to also look at convexity profiles uniquely.
Well, you certainly seem to be having success applying machine learning to MBS investing, and we are looking forward to seeing the results of your work, Glenn. And as always, thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Please check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.